Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon, my precious brothers and sisters, and welcome to another weekly edition of Is This the Church with the one and only Sister AJ. Well, my dear sisters already in studio. We are ready to get busy here and to talk about Jesus and Hollywood or Jesus and Dallas Jenkins. Before we do, let me just remind everyone that we were in studio yesterday. Sister Marie and the Button Pusher was in studio yesterday, and we did a great show. If you didn't know that BLM had a church, or that BLM was a church, or that BLM was trying to imitate a church, yesterday's broadcast will be an eye-opener to you. It's a great program, of course. We are supplied by Wonderful Audio, by the Just Thinking Podcast Brothers, and it was just a great show. I mean, the information that they brought forth, the documentation, the quotes, the investigative reporting that they did, all of the unearthing of all of this key information, and they brought it to the fore to show you, to show me, to show us that Black Lives is a spiritual movement as well as a political movement. And, yeah, you got to check out that broadcast. It was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. So if you're in need of prayer, send us your prayer request at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. Also, my brothers and sisters, just look, keep us in prayer here. As you know, I told you last week that we were going to be changing the platform image of the show. If you're tuning in and it says Let's Talk Church, that's the new platform image that I put up. The content remains the same. Sister AJ's on, Sister Marie's on. They have their individual show titles. But I'm planning on doing a show called Let's Talk Church. So please pray that I will be able to come up with show titles and show content in order to feed your mind and in order to encourage your soul in the Lord. So pray for that. Pray for me that I can go from button pusher one day to radio host the next day. All righty. Without any further ado, let us bring on our dear sister AJ. Sister AJ, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. So looking forward to this show today because, of course, you know, you always say or you always ask the question, is anything that Dallas Jenkins is saying in his show, The Chosen, is any of it biblical? And we haven't found 1 ounce of it to be biblical. Not 1 ounce.
Maybe a few scenes here and there or a couple of scriptures they'll make reference to, but
Or some names. You know, but other than that, I mean, I can't endorse this. I can't even endorse it to the cats and dogs in the neighborhood. You remember that show Green Acres? And the Zeffels had a pig named Arnold, which was their son. I couldn't even put on The Chosen for Arnold to get saved. No.
Right.
This is just horrible TV. Horrible. Right.
Even if it's supposed to be a just Christian entertainment, as they would say, when it comes down to Bible stories and telling things in the Bible, especially the Lord himself, we have to keep a watchful eye on what's being said because there are a lot of people that have some really demonic ideas about Jesus. Some people they think he was a sinner.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is rubbish. This show is rubbish. I would not recommend it to anyone, not a soul. And as we have seen, it's not based on the Word of God. The guy takes Bible characters and he spins a yarn around them, and mm-hmm. these Bible characters are unrecognizable. I don't recognize them.
Right. Even the apostles or even Mary Magdalene is depicted in a way that she is not shown in the Bible, you know, and so it does a great disservice to them as well.
Right. And, of course, we know that the sex barrier in the New Testament was very emphasized in this,
yes.
in this thing. This is a 21st century ghetto project, male and female interaction.
Right.
you know.
Right, and I would think, and they paint the picture that Jesus just threw out all traditions and customs and courtesy, but I would think that the Lord, particularly knowing how people are, would want to protect the reputations of these women so he wouldn't have them traveling and hanging out with them in the way that the Dallas's show and a lot of these other ones that are coming out show that Mary Magdalene was just one of the guys. Well, no.
Right.
They didn't do it like that back then.
Mm-mm. No, they didn't. No, they did not. And so, that, and of course, you know, the fact that Thomas, the disciple, was first a caterer,
right.
And a wedding
girl,
planner.
He's not married to her.
Please, again, this is so absurd, so absurd. Mm-hmm. And Matthew, the tax collector, who looks to me to be, you know, when you look at Matthew, when you, the audience does not have the benefit that I have or that you have, which we're looking at the video. You look
right.
at Matthew, Matthew has autistic tendencies, one. Second, Matthew seems to me to be a germaphobe. And then three,
yes.
he's hanging out with a dog. And wait a minute,
right.
wait a minute. Wait a minute. That doesn't make cultural sense. A dog?
Right. No, as you have been teaching at the International Institute, now shepherds would have dogs around to help them fend off the predators, but regular folk didn't have dogs as like pets.
Right, right. No, Jewish people didn't have dogs. They didn't. Now, of course, dogs existed. And dogs
yes.
went from one garbage heap to another, and, you know, they were flea-infested and, you know, carrying diseases and all that. But the law called the dogs unclean animals,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, that's what they were. They were unclean animals. So here you have
maybe
a germaphobe.
Because Matthew was an outcast or something, that his only friend, the only thing being that would even be around him is a dog. Maybe that's what Dallas is trying to say here.
Yeah, maybe, but again, culturally speaking, religiously speaking, no, this would not be, and again, I'm looking at Matthew, he's a Sissified apostle, Or rather, a sissified, because he's not an apostle yet, but so far what we've been watching, he's a sissified young man. I'm looking at him, and he's got, I see him, and I say, boy, he has autistic mannerisms.
I think that that's intentional, that Dallas wanted to portray him as on the spectrum, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so you see, I wasn't that far off.
Right.
But again, that's not the biblical record, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
Well, they're assuming that because Matthew was a tax collector and probably good with numbers and tail-oriented, that they decided that they wanted to show that, show him on the autism spectrum.
Look, my son has autism. Now, when you speak to my son Daniel and you say, okay, give me Mozart's birthday, or he's into classical music, he's into composers,
mm-hmm.
and he's into calendars, okay? So when he gets home from work, he's got this little job, which is not a paying job, but it's basically a job training program. When he comes home from work, the first thing he runs into his room, doesn't say hi to anybody, bypasses me, his mother, everybody, goes right into his room and grabs his iPad. Then he starts at year zero, and he starts moving the calendar. Now, he does this until he goes to sleep. Then at dinner, he can say, look, Dad, look at where I'm at. I'm at the year 69, and I say, okay. This is every day now, okay? Now.
Mm-hmm.
He gets paid at the end of the week, right? His mom and I give him $50. The job doesn't give him a lick, but his mother goes, and she goes to the bank and she gives him $50. Now, he's able to, and he wants them all in ones. He doesn't want a 20s and a 5 or 10s.
Okay.
He wants all ones because he wants that big water bill in his pocket. Okay, now, mm-hmm. when he says, Dad, I need some new earphones. Okay, so I take him to the store. He's got his money in his pocket. I say, okay, how much is it? $7. Okay, so go to your envelope the bank gave you, take out $7. And so he gives the lady $7, and, of course, it's $6-something. And he grabs his earphones, and he walks out the door. I said, come here. You have change coming to you. So he's good with numbers a certain way, but mm-hmm. when it comes to money, handling money, knowing what to put down there, he is mm-hmm. clueless. A newborn child would do better than my son Daniel. So don't mm-hmm. tell me he's autistic and he's handling Rome's money, because you know nothing about autism then. You know nothing.
Okay.
And this is why in the movie Rain Man was rich, but he had a person managing his money, a conservator, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Someone was managed because his daddy left him millions, but all he wanted to do was watch Judge Wapner at 3 o'clock. That's all he wanted. He didn't
right.
care about the money. So, again, now that even doesn't make sense. That does, you know, so, yeah, Dallas Jenkins is, he's lost. He has a very fertile mind for stupid mm-hmm. things.
A fertile imagination. Maybe
yeah.
Matthew would be, he's trying to say Asperger's, but maybe he's really showing a savant of some type. Or maybe Matthew was just a regular guy who was just good with numbers. What about that?
Right. And who, by the way, wrote a gospel.
That's right.
Listen, Matthew's gospel is one of the most complicated gospels that there is. It's a complicated gospel. First of all, it starts out with a genealogy. You got to trace all these
yes.
people back. Autistic people can't do that. I don't care what spectrum you're on. My son has Asperger's syndrome. He's on that side of the spectrum. This is why he can go out and talk and, you know, he wants to go to the movies. He wants to he interacts with people
right.
and, you know. But give him $50 and say, okay, go to the movies by yourself. And somebody's going to tell me, do you have a son named? They're going to call me. He's lost.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I'll ask him,
okay.
what happened to the $50? I don't know. I don't know what happened. No, there's no way Matthew could have had that kind of mental disability, if you will. There's no way. Mm-hmm. Plus, there's no record of any of that in Bible times. There's no
right.
record of autism in Bible
right.
times. It, again.
Right. Once again, putting modern contemporary issues in this first century culture.
Correct. So, yeah. Nice try, Dallas. Nice try.
Well, you got to make it relatable to modern people. I mean, we can't, you know, look at the Bible and take it for the time, the culture and the people at that time. We got to always make it about us, I suppose.
I suppose that's the case there. I suppose. You know, my grandfather who thought it was funny to pass gas in front of his grandchildren, my grandfather would find that scene of Jesus passing gas offensive.
Yes. Yeah.
He would not be laughing at that, and that's what he did.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Why do that?
Horrible. 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 That doesn't make Jesus relatable. That doesn't make Jesus relatable at all.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It's denigrating to him. At, you know, he was a man, but as you've stated so often, his humanity was different than ours.
Completely different. We can't even wrap our heads around the humanity of Christ. We can't.
Right.
We just can't. God, 100% man and 100% God, merged together in one person. I still can't. After all these years of studying the Bible, I still can't wrap my head. Paul says, "Great is the mystery. God was manifested in flesh." It's a mystery.
Exactly. It's a mystery that we can't even begin to explain, but we believe it by faith.
That's it. We know it happened. We know that the two natures, the divine nature and the human nature, were fused together, always to remain forever fused. And he's called the God-man, right? I mean, he will forever be 100% man, 100% God, the only member of the Trinity to have that fusion. And great is the mystery. Great is the mystery.
Yes. Right.
So
exactly. But Dallas and a lot of people like him want to humanize Jesus. And by the way, I did watch that video of Larry Reed's. My goodness.
Listen, that man is a pig.
With pigs on the panel, every single one of them.
Every single one of them.
We saw it. We saw 2 Peter 2, 1 Timothy 4, Romans 1, all rolled into one on that panel.
Right. And you saw that so-called female bishop, Yvette Flunder, about Jesus, right, and how Jesus must have been married, must have had a boyfriend. Jesus, our Jesus, was gay. He had a boyfriend. And, you know.
She called it a significant other, so you know what that means usually.
Yeah. Well, it could be either a woman or a man. But there is a gospel that I know that's the gospel that she's referring to, where it talks about Jesus and a young boy. There's an episode in that gospel. There's a chapter where Jesus lies down to sleep with a young boy, where Jesus is the sexual mentor and who is breaking in a young boy in homosexual activity. So, listen. She was humanizing Jesus, and the other clown, what's his name, Master Prophet. He was talking about Marxism, Black Lives. He wasn't mentioning Black Lives Matter, but he's talking about, you know, liberation theology.
Yeah.
But, so there you go. Those are the two shows we're doing currently.
Yep, humanizing and making Jesus just a man, and some even think a man who sinned. And I think that Dallas Jenkins, in ways that he would never get away with saying or depicting Jesus in the way that Yvette Flunder did. But he can have his subtle ways of doing it nonetheless, you know, and we'll probably talk about it a little bit some more today when we get into looking at this finishing off episode 6. But that video was very upsetting, especially the part where Ms. Flunder says that she got to a point where she decided not to even pray to Jesus and ask for help anymore because he doesn't understand Eros or something like that. What can he do for her and her suffering? But I'm like, well, my Bible says we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses because because he was in all points tempted, but without sin.
Right,
So, you know, she just completely denied the Lord with the things that she was saying.
You see, she's so moronic because on a creative level, right? Think about how God made all the animals. Let's just talk about creation. How God made all the animals, and the Bible says he made the animals male and female. Then he instructed Noah, when they come into the ark, bring them in two by two, male and female. So you mean to tell me God doesn't understand Eros when he created
and
the
sexes? That's his gift. That's his gift to us, or his creation as a whole. And he told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. I would imagine Eros would be involved in some of that. And not
Absolutely.
Just the physical stuff, but just the love and attraction that Adam immediately had when God brought the woman to him. And then when Noah left the ark, him and his family, God told them again to be fruitful and multiply.
Right. So for her to say Jesus doesn't understand, wait a minute, Jesus is the creator.
The
First John says that without him there wasn't anything that was made that was made. So you mean to tell me Jesus doesn't understand Eros? Where does sex come from? God gave that as a gift to humanity. What are you talking about, lady?
Right.
But you see, there's nobody on that stage that can, you know, just tell her to put a cork in it. There's nobody.
No, because that's it. I mean, if I could have even stood to be there, that's when I would have stood up and said, you're wrong, lady. But I get dragged out of there, too, so.
Yeah. But that's the perverted church today, and the people clapping and, they just, Bloomer in the past and the master prophet in the past said that sex, your marriage is between a man or a woman. But they said that back then out of convenience. Now today, the winds of doctrine are turning, and they're just going to go, you know, God opened my mind, and I got a revelation, and I understand now that there's same-sex attraction and same-sex love, and, you know, and so, of course, look, they're going to go, like you said, Dallas Jenkins knows right now at this stage that he can't present Jesus the way he would like to or the way he imagines in his mind because people ain't ready for it. But there will come a day when the church is so polluted that he can revisit this series and do Jesus living with Mary Magdalene or whoever he wants Jesus to live with. And by the way, the Mormons wouldn't have a problem with that because, you know, the Mormons...
they're polygamists.
Right, and they believe, you know, the gods have
that
sex.
He was married.
Sure.
I think at one point they believed that Jesus had two or three wives.
Absolutely. So that's why, you know, the Mormons won't. Now, Christians would have a problem with that today, but not Mormons. Mormons would even say, brother, you are so spot on.
By time.
Exactly. So,
and we'll look at the, we left off on the episode of The Chosen, episode 6, season 1, called Indescribable Compassion, and it's getting into Jesus healing the paralytic, and we already noted that the setting and a location, a lot of stuff about this is already off. And we got as far as seeing that whole miracle transpire, but if you we left off at the 2-hour mark, you said, but if you wanted to go back a little, you know, where it first starts so we can discuss it again. I wrote down an hour 57. It would be a good place to back it up to.
Okay. Here it is, 1 hour 57.
There's 16 hours of the day.
I have no idea.
Which brings up a good point. All of you listening here, you're pretty decent people, yes? Pretty righteous, kind of. Not bad. Let me tell you a story.
There were two men that went up into the temple.
Excuse us.
One of
please.
Them was fat, the best one, right? The other,
Saxon. Hello, Mr. Theo.
Word. Yes? This is Jesus of Nazareth.
He's listening,
standing by himself.
Goes inside to the temple, and he prays this prayer.
You hear okay?
Yeah.
He's amazing, huh?
God. I thank you that I am not like other men.
Excuse me.
Extortion.
Excuse me.
Unjust.
Please.
There you go.
Please. We need to see Jesus.
There's no room up there.
She's paralyzed from the waist down. We can't stand.
There is definitely no room then.
Simon, he deserves to hear Jesus as much as anyone else.
Hello again. I'm so glad I found you. My friend, you're here.
Look, why do you need to get closer?
I saw what their master did to the leper. I know what I saw.
We're trying to keep that under wraps. For now. Look at this crowd. Imagine what we'd be...
Please. Please. Help me get my friend to him.
Who's that company?
I'll talk to them.
What's going on here?
This is a peaceful gathering. That is what the Maccabees said.
They're blocking the road.
I'll move them. They haven't been told where to stand yet.
Finally, he said to me, even though I don't fear God, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she does not wear me out.
There's too many people.
But you know him. Can't you get us any closer?
I don't want to interrupt the teacher by causing a scene.
What if you were me?
Wouldn't you want your friend to make a scene?
Who was he once?
What about the roof?
I just wanted to hear the teacher teach.
Abir, it's okay. Come up.
How did you get up there?
We climbed the ladder. It's easy.
Thank you.
Where are your parents? I see, okay. Okay, well, the man speaking is called...
Jesus of Nazareth. We know him.
This is how God clothes the grass of the sea which is here today and throw it into the fire tomorrow.
How much more will he clothe all of you?
Excuse me.
Quiet. I'm trying to listen.
Do you know who you are talking to now?
Did you hear this disrespect?
The red quarter? We're out of our element here.
We have to find out who is teaching. Look at this crowd.
All the more reason to be cautious.
Rabbi. It's her. She is truly restored. I only heard your report, not seen her for myself. She's a different person.
Why is she here?
The city on a hill cannot be hid. And if it were nighttime, Zebedee wouldn't light his lamp and put it under a basket. Put it on the stand where it could light us all.
Jesus of Nazareth!
Over there!
I saw what you did to the leper on the road this morning. My friend has been paralyzed since childhood. He has no hope but you. Please, do for him what you did for the leper.
That's a rope.
Put it back, man.
You are willing, Rabbi. I know you can do this.
Your tablet, at least.
Harry! Is he in danger?
I don't know. No, I don't think so.
He's got room in there?
Yes.
Can you believe we're really here for this?
Yes.
Down.
What authority do you teach? Answer me.
If you are willing, Rabbi, you know you can.
Hey, I'm talking to you. By whom do you teach? Certainly not the authority of any rabbi from Nazareth. Where did you study?
Your faith is beautiful. Son, take heart. Your sins are forgiven. Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Right. But I ask you, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? It's easy to say anything, no? But to show you, and so that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. I say to you, my son, rise. Pick up your bed.
Go on.
Nobody, please!
His 2 feet.
You asked me before if I knew his name. Now everyone knows his name. And I fear for his safety.
I mean no trouble to him. No dishonor.
Your friends tried to have him arrested.
They're jealous. They're afraid. But I'm not. I promise. Mary, please. I need to talk to him.
I follow him, not the other way around. He doesn't tell anyone his plans.
But will you ask him for a meeting in secret, under cover of night? At a place of his choosing. I don't care if it's a ravine or a cave or even a tomb. I just need to speak to him. Please, Mary.
I will try.
Alrighty, so your thoughts to that point?
Okay, well, this was the healing of the paralytic, like we said earlier, and Dallas has it taking place at Zebedee's house and with all his family and stuff, and people just started gathering when they heard Jesus teaching and talking to them, and just people started showing up. But we said last week that Zebedee isn't even mentioned after John and James get called to be disciples, right, down there by the seashore. That was it.
That's it. The one and only mention of him being there in a particular scene. Because he is mentioned,
right,
but simply as the father of John and
right.
James. But, you know, not that he was ever anywhere other than that one first initial scene where they're working with their father on the boat and Jesus calls them into ministry. That's it.
Right. And they don't say, the Gospels don't really say whose house this was. But, you know, here I go nitpicking again, I guess. And then getting to the scene with the paralytic. First of all, according to the Gospels, there were no women orchestrating, but not Mary Magdalene, who probably wasn't even there, and this other young lady, which, by the way, that's the lady that he met earlier on the road that grew up in Egypt, and Jesus was saying,
mm-hmm.
"Yeah, I grew up in Egypt too." That's the same one,
right.
And so she's the one that's leading the charge to bring the guy on the bed. There's some guys carrying him, but she's leading the way and trying to make the way to get him to Jesus.
Right.
But the Bible doesn't talk about, it says four men. And then when they get up to the roof, nobody yells down at the Lord or tries to plead with him to get him to help their friend. The guys went up there according to the scriptures, and there was no pre-dug hole or anything, because in Dallas's depiction, there was already an opening in the roof. And right. they just kind of made it a little bit wider, but in the Bible, it said they broke through the tiling in the roof
sure.
in order to let the guy down on his bed, practically right on top of Jesus. But there was no bed in this scene with Dallas. And then the Jesus looking up at the lady while she's pleading with him, and he says, "Your faith is beautiful," but Jesus never said anything about that or anybody's faith, really. The scripture says when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And then the scribes are thinking, "Who is this guy thinking he can forgive sins?" I'm paraphrasing. And then Jesus,
right.
knowing what they were thinking, then he called them out, but he didn't say anything about "your faith is beautiful." Their faith was already demonstrated in the Bible because of the lengths they went through to get their friend to Jesus. So obviously they believed he could heal them without all the extra drama. And plus the way we had the benefit of the video, of course, but the way that the actor acts that scene out in his tone of voice and the way he was looking at this young lady, it made me a little uncomfortable. I thought it was weird, kind of. When he said your faith is beautiful, and the look he had, it's like, well, is he talking about faith or the young lady? And I wondered, is this a little subtle way, because we talk about how subtle the devil is, of trying to say, okay, if you're emphasizing Jesus's humanity all the time, like Dallas likes to do, wouldn't the next logical step to say, well, if he's a man, men do notice attractive women sometimes, so maybe Jesus did too. Is that what that was about? Subtle, but not overt, but just something
right.
I thought was strange and out of place in this scene, especially since Jesus never said anything about anybody's faith in that whole situation.
Right.
And the Pharisees never called the Roman soldiers or anything. There were no Roman soldiers there. Nicodemus was not on the scene, begging Mary to help to set up a meet with him and Jesus. The scene with Nicodemus meeting Jesus actually happened in Jerusalem, and this is allegedly in Capernaum, where Dallas has this happening. So I don't know. What say you about it, brother?
Yeah, in one of the clips, Jesus is talking about the widow who is dealing with the unjust judge. That's Luke 18.
Right.
Then he mm-hmm. is talking about the sermon. He introduces a snippet from the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm saying this
yeah.
guy biblically is all over the place, has completely messed up the chronology of the life and ministry of Jesus. He's got Jesus
yeah.
saying things too early of a date. And mm-hmm. like all the aforementioned things, you know, that you highlighted, I mean, again, look, you could, in this particular scene, you could have had mm-hmm. Batman and Robin. You could have had Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner. Because this was a free for all. This was everybody and their
yes.
mother was in this scene. Zebedee,
you could have had the
yeah.
whole Justice League, right?
That's it. That's it. Yeah, I mean, this is again. This is look. Let's just give an example. Let's just say if Dallas Jenkins was wanting to know his roots, and his daddy said, "Listen, Dallas, just as far as I know, I don't know much more." And let's say Dallas goes to the Mormons, to Ancestry.com, and he says, "Okay, investigate my ancestry for me." And he finds out that all the people in his ancestry were made up, that none of the events in the ancestry, you know, depiction ever happened, he would be fit to be tied.
Livid.
Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, he would be mad. You mean to tell me you guys lied? Well, that's what you're doing with this. You have taken the four Gospels, which is a historical document, and you have so distorted it. It's so out of whack, so out of order, so misconstrued. And, you know, you made a complete mess out of clear records. Clear records. You made a complete mess.
Aren't there people that don't think the Bible is historical document? Maybe that's why Dallas thinks he can just cherry pick and move stuff all around out of order and it doesn't matter.
Right. Well, again, there are people, like, I give you an example. Bishop Carlton Pearson. He likes to denigrate the Bible, put the Bible down, the Bible this, the Bible's a white man's book, blah, blah, blah. And then when he's trying to prove or make a point, he quotes the Bible. Well, which one is it? Is it credible or is it not credible? You can't have it both ways. You can't say this is a depiction or this is, you know, a story about the people involved in the life of Jesus, and then, you know, you're trashing the Bible. And then claiming that, you know, it doesn't work that way. It either is the inspired word of God or it is not. And I just think that this guy is in it for the money. Dallas is in it for the money, to make a name for himself, to put his name on the map, you know, to have people say, oh, yeah, he's the guy from The Chosen. Say, oh, yeah, he's the mastermind. He's the genius who put The Chosen together. That's what he's after.
Maybe Hollywood will give him another chance. Maybe.
Sure, absolutely. Maybe he can direct Space Jam 3. Maybe that's what, you know. But no, this is horrible, horrible. This is just awful. And you know, think about it. Here you have Cecil B. DeMille. He does the movie The Ten Commandments. That covers 120 years of Moses' life. 120 years. And if you look at it, it's pretty Bible accurate for all 120 years. It's pretty spot on. This guy takes 30 years, 33 years of the life of Jesus, and he's got it all scrambled.
Right.
He's got a mess out of
33 years. Yeah. Not even 33, because he didn't start with his birth, remember?
Right, yeah. Yeah. So, no, this is, again, we are setting the Guinness World Record for nitpicking, but don't blame us. We hit the record only because Dallas Jenkins and Joel Osteen put us on this road. It is what it is. It's just, I'm looking at Matthew going up the ladder, and he's wiping the ladder down like a germaphobe.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
right.
What is that? What is that? This is, you know.
Right.
Nicodemus begging Mary. Nicodemus begging a woman, please, Mary, see if you can hook it up, a meeting between me and Jesus.
Right.
You know?
It just said Nicodemus went to him by night. It didn't say if anybody else orchestrated it or set it up. He just knew where Jesus was and went and met with him.
That's it. But you see,
and plus, like I said, it was in Jerusalem, not Capernaum.
He's all over the place. This guy is just all over the place. That's where he's at. He's just, you know. And there is Peter. Peter's going from one person. Do you like Jesus? Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he awesome?
Like the hype man.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. No, this is This is rubbish. Okay, now we're looking at Matthew. Matthew's on the scene now. And let's see what Matthew has to say.
Are you lost?
Yes, I am.
Should I tell them about it?
Episode 6, I hope you enjoyed it. That scene between, well, it's between so many people, Jesus and the paralytic and Tamar and Matthew and the children, the returning from episode 3, and Nicodemus and Shmuel and Barnaby and Shula and all of these people so impacted by what's happening. That scene took 5 days to shoot. That scene alone took 5 days to shoot. That music cue that plays from our beautiful composers Dan and Matt was almost 10 minutes long. Quite a big monster of a scene, and I hope it impacted you. Well, thank you.
No, it didn't impact me. It got me mad.
Yep. It's like, and confusing, because it's like, wait a minute, that didn't, you know, he's all over the place, like you said.
Yeah, and he's got all these people. He's naming them. He's got a whole catalog of people that are, and he's naming them. Like the romper room teacher, I see Betty, and oh yes, I see John. Yeah, and I see you too, Stephen.
Right.
Please.
And half of the people he named were just made up characters or people that weren't there at the time that this happened. You know,
correct.
Like Matthew, it would have been better if Matthew had stayed at the tax booth, because right according to the scripture anyway, as soon as Jesus was on his way to the sea, I think, and the people were still following him, he passed by and saw Matthew and called him at that time. But now we've got to see, I guess, at some other time, Jesus will be passing by again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. See, again, this is none of this makes sense. And the rule that applied to all previous directors of Jesus movies was follow the biblical script. This guy took the script and threw it out the window and wrote his own. That's what he did. That's what he did.
Well, that's what a lot of them are doing now, because even that one with the Roma Downey, the updated one she did, they took some licenses and had some things that didn't really fit. But I don't know if they deviated from the actual account as much as this one did. I didn't really watch all of it.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's...
But a lot of them are doing that now. You know, maybe back in the day with Cecil B. DeMille, like you mentioned, what was it, John Huston, when he did the Bible series.
They followed the script.
But it was a different time where you better, you know,
sure.
Yeah, or else you would hear about it from the people. Christians wouldn't stand
right.
for it back then. At least
right.
that's what I'm guessing. But now we've become we've turned away from God to where people can get away with stuff like this now.
Yeah. Ridley Scott and Russell Crowe did a movie about Noah maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
That bombed. That completely bombed in the movie theaters. And why did it bomb? Because word got around. Christians were telling other Christians it's not based on the Bible.
Okay.
It completely bombed. People don't like it when you mess with the Bible. They don't. Well, again,
right?
This guy is successful with this series, so who can figure people out? But
right,
you know, no. That again, he's naming all the people that were in there, and it's just, you know, again, took too much license. Just too, you know, at least Cecil B. DeMille says, okay, look, there's some things we put in here. They're from the book of Josephus and the book of Philo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He was up front with it. Before the movie started to roll, he comes on the stage, there's a big curtain behind him. And he's up front.
Right.
He's up front. This guy, you know, he's got cobwebs in his brain. And, you know, he's got stories bouncing around in there about Jesus.
But he did put a disclaimer, and he says this in a lot in some of his interviews, that this is a made up story, and this shouldn't take the place of the Bible and all that kind of stuff.
But it is.
I can see from some of the comments that people are saying this has changed the way I read the Bible. Oh, you know, it makes they think of these characters and the way he tells this story, even when they're reading the scriptures.
Right. Right. People are running for his version rather than for the Holy Ghost inspired version.
Right.
That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. So, oh, and the music was so wonderful, the melody. We had 10 minutes of music. I don't care about the music. We had these two wonderful composers. Please.
Well, some people, they say, oh, I just love the soundtrack. Oh, I just love the music. So,
yeah, sure.
I guess he's looking at the comments and the live chat that's next to the video. Maybe he's seeing what people are saying, so he mentions it.
Yeah. Well, that's it for that video, the two shows on that one. And thumbs down for me. If Siskel and Ebert were here, thumbs down.
Exactly. Especially when you're talking about biblical and even some historical accuracy, you would say a thumbs down on this.
Sure. Absolutely.
So the next audio number two, that's going to be episodes 7 and 8. And episodes, when you get that ready, you can, episode 7, you can move it to the, what did I put here, the 15-minute mark, I think, to get past the Dallas and his bloviating at the beginning.
Yeah, and bloviate he does. Boy, this guy loves the sound of his voice.
Yes, he does.
All right, here it is.
Tonight?
Some 300, sir.
Where will you bury them?
Men are trying to dig a trench, but the ground is hard and rocky. With respect, Moses, my concern is not for the dead, but for the dying. hundreds fall by the day, and for every serpent we kill, another 10 appear.
Maybe we should leave the bodies here, in this tent.
At the rate people are dying, there would not be enough room, even if we stacked them to the top.
Then we'll have to leave and find someplace else.
I'm not leaving anytime soon. Too many people are sick and cannot walk.
After today, the only Hebrews too sick to walk will be those who choose to remain so.
Is there medicine in that bronze? You told the people that you would ask God to forgive their rebellion, to heal the serpent wound.
I did.
Then why are you hiding in a tent?
It wasn't my idea, Joshua.
That is a pagan symbol. You did not ask him if you were sure? Maybe you misunderstood him.
I've learned to do what he says without questioning. You remember what happened at Meribah.
Just to be sure, we could send a messenger to Ezion-Geb or beg for aid.
That pole. Hand me that pole.
The people would say it is a cruel joke.
Let them say that.
Help me understand. None of this makes any sense.
How do you explain the Red Sea? The manna in the quarter? The pillar of fire? Joshua, any Israelite who looks upon this bronze serpent and believes in the power of Adonai will be healed. It's an act of faith. Not reason.
Boy, we got to stop it right there.
Yes, indeed.
Wow.
And what that scene was the depiction, because Dallas sometimes likes to do these flashbacks to the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of some of these episodes, just to explain what's going on to the viewers. And what that was the scene out of Numbers 21, I believe, when God had, the people murmured and complained, and the Lord sent the serpents after them, and then he had Moses make the bronze serpent and put it on the pole. So that's
right.
What that scene is with Moses actually crafting the bronze serpent, and then Joshua comes in not understanding what Moses is doing and whether or not he heard God right. Like, why would you make this symbol? It's a pagan symbol. But, of course, we know that conversation never took place. At least I don't see it here unless it's somewhere else, brother. Help me out here.
No,
would Joshua be arguing with Moses like this? I don't think he ever did that. That's
never,
the second piece to it.
Never, never, because, again, when you look at the Moses-Joshua dynamic, they were always, every single account, they were on the same page. Now, Moses and Aaron weren't always on the same page. Moses and Miriam were never on the same page. But Moses and Joshua were.
Yeah.
And this is why when Moses left the scene, God said, take Joshua, the son of Nun, and he was a man of extreme faith.
Right.
So when Moses says to him, Joshua, I have faith, that is not the Joshua of the book of the Exodus and of the conquest. That's not the Joshua.
Right.
So, again, he's got it wrong. Plus, Moses would not be hammering out the brass. Now, God said to Moses, make thee. But, you know, it's like when God said to make that tabernacle, well, there were people who were skilled in making the things of the tabernacle. So of course, God has given Moses the instruction, but Moses wasn't hammering the thing out. He had no skill in metallurgy. He had no skill in fashioning metal.
The scripture just says so Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, but we don't know if that means he had it made or whatever.
Yeah, he had it made because, again, there's no, remember, and everything that was of metalwork in the tabernacle, Moses, God said to Moses, hey, you take these guys, I've given them the wisdom and metalwork, you employ them. So there's no way that Moses is hammering out a brass and serpent. It's no way.
Okay.
There's a lot of things, you know, that God says Moses to do, but of course he's to oversee, supervise the making of. But it doesn't mean he has hands on himself. This is Franklin, Dallas, taking liberties.
You keep wanting to call Dallas Jensen Franklin for some reason.
Well, they're both in the same league, you know.
Right, dunces.
They're bosom buddies, you know. That's what they are.
Yeah.
So, wow. Okay. Let's play the music and see what this episode leads. Now, I'm assuming now that I saw Moses and Joshua and the brass and serpent, I guess now Nicodemus is going to show up and Jesus is going to say, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man.
Yeah.
I guess that's what this
is called. That'll probably be what in here somewhere, yes.
Yeah, okay.
You're complaining about safely walking the street?
I didn't help Quintus for you.
Oh, I know. You couldn't help yourself.
I spoke up because I was right.
You got lucky.
Luck doesn't exist.
So you knew Quintus would not kill you.
He was smart to go after the fishermen. But he must have been desperate to enlist Simon.
I don't buy it. You were terrified.
Sir, what if you were suddenly the only Roman in Capernaum?
I think I'd change clothes.
Exactly. When you realize that nobody else in the world cares what happens to you, you think only about yourself.
For a fool, your brain has taken you far. I admit it.
I thought so, too.
Praise Adonai, he is healthy and alive.
What are you talking about?
I received word from Jerusalem. Havela gave birth to a son. You are grandfather again.
So soon?
A month early, but all is well. Oh, blessed be he. We'll have the rest of our things sent.
No. My research here is not completed.
But we have to make it back in time for the bris. We have only 8 days, less than 8.
Circumcision can be performed by any number of people, Zohara.
Nico, this is your own grandson.
Grandson. How people will understand.
Do you know what people will say when they learn that the great Nicodemus missed his own grandson's name day because he was doing research in Capernaum?
Research that concerns not just one Jewish boy, but all of Israel, past, present, and future.
There is nothing in Capernaum but demoniacs and insolent schoolboys. Come to your senses.
I have never been closer to my senses.
That is not how it looks from the outside.
Many things are not.
I am ready to leave this place, Nico. I miss my children and my grandchildren, including the one I haven't even met yet.
Oh, Zohara, please. You can't just barge.
Oh, I believe I can.
Peter Quintus.
Zohara, is it? Pleasure to see you again.
I trust all is well.
Why would you trust that?
Yes, please, do make yourself at home.
We really will have to discuss the people's tithing.
This is why you've come?
I need to know if we have a problem, Nicodemus.
I have complied with every request Rome has made to my office, even when it infringed on custom.
Let me rephrase. You and I want the same thing. We want rules followed. We want order. Soldiers, money, votes, that's my world. Demons, prayers, oddballs, that's yours. I need to know if our worlds are on a collision course. The so-called miracle worker?
Jesus of Nazareth.
Don't even know what Nazareth is, but yes. Him.
Anecdotes and rumors.
And a stampede in the eastern ghetto that delayed Herod's envoy. That really made me look bad. I hate that.
The unrest began when your soldiers waded into the crowd brandishing weapons.
It isn't an isolated event. I've heard reports. My source has an unwavering knack for accuracy and a compulsion for the truth. So again, I ask you, is there a problem?
No.
You don't seem sure. Maybe I could get better information from this Shmuel. He's very eager to see me.
The only way to learn this preacher's intentions is to speak with him directly.
So speak to him. I hate crowds. They take time and resources, and then cleanup is a pain. When you arrange a private meeting, I want to know when and where. Understand?
What troubles you about this man?
Preachers have a habit of becoming politicians. They sprout up like weeds and spread. Your wife is a gardener. She understands.
Some flora spread their seeds when trampled. Who's to say you wouldn't be creating a martyr?
I'll take my chances.
You sympathize with this preacher.
Alrighty, let's stop it there.
Okay.
What say you?
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is that, once again, there's nothing in Scripture to suggest that Jesus was even on the Romans' radar at this point, or that they were in any way concerned about him. at all. So, I mean, why would this guy Quintus have even been concerned about it and then going to Nicodemus? I mean, and plus we know Nicodemus was never even, probably didn't go to Capernaum much. He was mainly based in Jerusalem, I think. I mean, maybe went to Capernaum, but I don't know.
Yeah. Again, we know he's in Capernaum because in Dallas Jenkins' world, he had to try to exorcise Mary Magdalene and fail. Right?
Right.
I mean, that's
right.
That's, you know, so if we go back to, and we trace Nicodemus' steps,
yes.
You know, but again,
he's
none
of this. Questioning his faith.
Right.
And Jerusalem is a long way from Capernaum, by the way.
Long,
you know, according
long,
to my little
long
map
way.
Here.
Long way. So, again, this is another Scooby-Doo episode. Scooby-Doo versus the, you know, the cave ghost or whatever. This is, you know, this is Hanna-Barbera. This is, you know, this is just, what are you going to say?
A
I mean, this
up
is
a story.
Just a made, another made-up story. And here is this Roman higher up, and he's walking by himself. I know Dallas has budget constraints. He can't have legions like, you know, in Hollywood, where, you know, Hollywood just will get you all the extras you want. But
right.
none of this makes sense. To even have a Gentile enter your home, oh, my goodness, so offensive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the Romans
right.
would know that. You know, one thing
the Romans would try to honor the customs, not because they cared that much, maybe, but just because it kept the peace.
Not only that, you know, the Romans are not in the habit of going to meet people. They are in the habit of commanding people to come and see them.
Right, that's
right?
true. That's true.
You know, it's like the Godfather. Is the Godfather from the Mafia going to go visit you at your little apartment? No. The Godfather is going to have two of his goons grab you as you're walking out your house, put you in a car, and bring you to him.
Right. Exactly. That's true.
Yeah. So, again, you know. All right. Let's see what else he's got to say here. Let's see.
Will you be safe here? What do you mean, safe? They'll be looking for us because of what you said about forgiving sins.
Ah, we won't be here very long. After what happened yesterday, we'll keep moving from town to town.
Is that what you want?
What do you mean?
Roam about, not able to stay in one place?
I want to do the will of my Father, and I want to spread the message of salvation. So yes, I am happy to not stay in one place.
Rabbi?
Yes, Pat.
I should prepare firewood for how many days?
Now you see, even here, Jesus is on the run. Jesus is a fugitive.
Right.
Jesus has gone underground.
After the ruckus, Jesus was running off again from the authorities like he stole something, just like from
right.
Joel Osteen's show. So he
right.
did the same thing here. So, yes, neither hiding
yeah,
out.
Yeah, the reason why Jesus was constantly on the move is because he said, I've been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So he's
right.
a circuit preacher. Right? Because he's trying to gather
yeah.
the lost sheep. Not because, you know, he's the fugitive and, you know, and
he's scared
you know.
Of the authorities.
Yeah, yeah. He's running from
right.
the FBI.
And
no.
again, this scene doesn't really make any sense because, like we said from the last episode, he when he left the house where the miracle happened, He met up, he saw Matthew and called him. And then according in Luke anyway, it says they went to Levi's house and had a feast. And then he had another conversation with the scribes and the Pharisees when they were talking about why he hangs out with sinners.
Right.
So, and it doesn't say anything about them camping out. Now, after that whole exchange, Luke does mention in the next chapter about them walking through the grain fields, but I don't see in here where this scene even took place unless it's in one of the other Gospels.
Right, right. And it's not. It's not in any other Gospel. So, all right. And here he's asking him, Lord, how many days should I chop wood? Well, if Jesus told you we're leaving tomorrow, look, there's no, you know how heavy wood is? How are you going to chop wood for 3 or 4 days and carry that on your back? That doesn't even make sense. When you camp out, and I'm talking from experience. When you camp out and you're in the woods, you don't need to cut wood for a lot of days to carry. Why? Because you're surrounded by woods. You just cut what you need for that moment. You use it up, and then you move to the next place, and all around you there's wood. There's wood everywhere. So, again, this writing is just terrible.
Five, I think. Thought you said that we wouldn't be here very long. Leaving some for the next weary traveler. Hospitality isn't only for people who own homes, John.
Now, does that make sense? Jesus, you're going to have me sweat up a storm, chopping wood for... You know how much wood for 5 days is? That's not even anywhere in the... This is just absurd.
Well, they're just saying Jesus was loving and cared about the poor, this sounds like it's plausible that Jesus would operate this way is what Dallas is saying by putting this scene in here, but he could have left this whole scene out, though.
Yeah, I mean, this scene offers nothing. Nothing. No value. No value.
Mary, are you all right?
Me, yes, thank you. May I speak with you, Rabbi?
Yes, of course. Keep going.
I wanted to apologize for yesterday.
For what?
I was trying to help those people get closer to the sound of your voice. I had no idea they would open the roof and disrupt your teaching. I'm truly...
So you regret that a paralytic is enjoying his first full day on his own feet, huh?
No. Just that I caused the scene and cut short your teaching.
Who's to say it was cut short? With their faith, they would have found a way whether you brought them to the roof or not.
But there's more. When we were leaving, a Pharisee stopped me and asked for a private meeting with you. I told him I would ask.
A Pharisee? Do you know this man?
He visited me before.
A Pharisee in the Red Quarter?
Rome sent him. I doubt he wanted to be there.
No, I wouldn't think so.
I saw him again after I was better, and he wanted to know how I was healed. Of course, I didn't tell him who you were, but he seemed...
What?
Earnest. He wasn't offended to learn that someone else had succeeded where he had failed. There was there's a hunger in his eyes, not fear.
Not like the Pharisees at the window yesterday.
I am sorry to have brought all this on you.
No, there was a reason you met this Pharisee.
Nicodemus.
Nicodemus, of course. I've heard of him.
Oh, I don't know who is known and who is not. It is only to me.
Don't worry about which men others think are important. Send word to Nicodemus. I will meet with him. Little James will know the location. Thank you, Mary.
Yes, teacher. Where are you going?
to be alone. I need to think and to pray.
I will pray also, that I did not put you in terrible danger.
You have not. In fact, I have made plans already for tomorrow night.
Plans?
Yes, spread the word. A dinner party in the northern district. The tall house just past the arch.
That row of homes.
I know the kind of people who live there. Trust me.
Now here is Jesus. He has to think. He has to ask questions. Who's Nicodemus? Mm-hmm. Jesus is God.
He knows all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, in very subtle ways, Jesus needs for his disciples to inform him.
Right. Right, looking for guidance from Mary Magdalene.
And look, this thing about Jesus, can I have a word with you in private? No, you can't.
That
no.
special relationship angle again. That
yeah,
he would
exactly.
have privileges that hardly even the men had at this point.
And she's not even there. She look, the girl's not there. Mary Magdalene is not in that group. She's not.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
She was never there. She was never there. This is nonsense.
And we don't, and according to scripture, I don't think Jesus had even met her yet. Maybe he had her, I don't, but she's not mentioned until Luke 7, or is it Luke 8? Luke 7 or 8? Yeah, 8.
Again,
this Luke is. Luke 8, couple of chapters later.
This is just her asking a private word with Jesus? No.
Yep.
You know, again, just and this is just horrible. Horrible.
But see, the weird thing is when you talk about he has to ask her questions about Nicodemus, and at the end of their conversation, he was describing a dinner party, right? You know he's describing
right.
the gathering at Matthew's house. So Jesus is all-knowing when it comes to that, but he didn't know who Nicodemus was without Mary having to explain it to him.
Right. Crazy. He either is, either he's all-knowing or he's not all-knowing.
Or he's not, right.
Make up your mind. All right.
What about the others?
Hello, Ima. Or Elisheva, I mean. Hello.
Matthew.
I don't receive visitors myself. Is this a custom?
If your father were here, I couldn't do this.
Where is Alpheus?
I think a dog followed you.
He's with me. You stay out here if you let me in. Alpheus be home soon.
He's away. On a work trip.
Where will work take him? Does he no longer make leather goods?
His shop is robbed. Many of the shops have been. Crime is rampant, makes it very difficult to reopen.
He loved his shop.
But we still have a roof over our heads, which is more than some people can say.
You can ask me for money if you ever need it.
How can you say that?
It's quite common. I've seen many parents entirely dependent on...
Your father would sooner die than take your blood money.
I know you are ashamed of me, but your decision is irrational. Rome will continue to collect taxes no matter what. I'm skilled with numbers.
Did you come here to justify yourself?
No! Everything's like sand in a flood. The things I thought I knew to be true.
Are you in trouble?
Do you think that impossible things can happen? That overturn the laws of nature? That cannot be explained.
That is what people asked when you were a boy. Even the rabbis were astonished at your talent for reading, math, the way you could think faster than any other child. They thought you would be someone great.
Great at what? I'm rich. I have an armed escort. I'm trusted by the Praetor of Galilee.
We never dreamed you would use the talent God gave you to bleed your people dry.
But have you ever seen anything miraculous?
Not you.
My whole world. Everything I thought I knew. What if it's wrong?
I think you should go. You never even asked about your sister.
She looks well. I came to celebrate Shabbat a few weeks ago. Then I left. Goodbye, Emma.
So let's talk about that little episode there, which never happened.
Right. That's the scene with Matt, the soon-to-be apostle Matthew and his mother. I guess he got had questions because of what he's seen with Jesus. Even though the scripture doesn't say he was there when Jesus healed the paralytic, or even the scene at the sea that with the
right.
great catch of fish. I mean, maybe he heard about Jesus through word of mouth or something, but in reality, but in here, Dallas has him present, so now he's got a lot of things, and he went to his mother, which his father isn't at home, so he was able to get in to see her. And so that's what that scene, which, as you stated, never happened.
Never happened. That Matthew had a sister, we don't know.
No, the Bible doesn't mention a sister.
Dog. Yeah.
Right.
You know, this is, again, that his father's shop was robbed. And as a result, his father has to go on the road like a door-to-door salesman. That never
mm-hmm.
happened.
Right.
You know, so horrible.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm not sure this is a good idea.
Why not?
Could be a trap. Nicodemus cooperates with Rome. They're the ones who sent him to Mary when she was possessed in the Red Quarter.
I am well acquainted with risks, Simon. So are you, if I remember our first meeting correctly. Hmm?
Risk is his oldest friend, I'm afraid.
Simon, Mary is an excellent judge of character. She has known some of the worst kinds of men in this world, and she finds him earnest. You should trust her instincts. And mine. Rabbi, I've got it.
Ah, let's take a look. Can you keep her quiet, please? No one needs to know you're sick.
I can't tell her not to cough, Simon.
I just don't want our burdens to become his, okay? I don't want to be the one to distract him.
He's made up his mind about you. He's not going to kick you out of the group.
It's perfect. Well done. Well, I think I can sit all of you in here with me, huh? He
You won't be recognized in that.
Has the owner of the house given permission?
It's all arranged, Rabbi. And I'll be waiting at the door.
Thank you, Andrew. You go on ahead, but remember to relax. You are there to guide our guest, not to be my protector.
Are you sure you don't want me to come? The more eyes watching the streets for trouble, the better.
Not tonight, Simon. Stay here with your wife and your mother-in-law.
Okay, so they went shopping for Jesus, like they go shopping for the bishops, and they got him a
like robe with the, the big hood on it, and he's going to meet Nicodemus in disguise, which we know that it didn't happen that way at all.
Right. It was Nicodemus who went to Jesus, right?
Right.
Incognito.
By night.
Right. Mm-hmm. It was Nicodemus who was hiding his identity, not Jesus.
Right. And in John, who talks about this, him, the meeting with Nicodemus, he makes it clear they were in Jerusalem at the time. I keep saying that, but I mean, this whole thing is just out of order because of when Dallas is showing that it happened. Is out of order for when it actually did. The setting, the place is off, the location is off, and Jesus wouldn't be sneaking through the streets in disguise.
Right. Right. Again, and I just saw Jesus scraping the scales off the fish and didn't even wash his hands.
Yes.
Right.
And you know they were big on that.
Absolutely. And then, no, this again, this is amateur night. This is, if we were viewing a movie, if we were Hollywood bigwigs, and if we were in the screening room checking out this movie that we gave this guy money to make, we would say, don't even release this movie. Put it in a can and just dump it. We're not releasing this. This is an embarrassment to our studio.
It didn't really become a hit until the pandemic when everybody was stuck at home.
Right. And had no choice but to watch whatever was on.
Right.
Fourth viewing. Okay.
Well, people seem to like it, though, so.
Yeah. Hey, look.
A lot of people talk as if they found hidden treasure.
When people look, I read people's comments, oh, George Blum is so anointed. Oh, the anointing on him is dripping off. I wish I had some of that anointing. I said, poor fool. Yvette Flounder, what a woman of God. She's so powerful.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Welcome, Nicodemus. Don't be alarmed. He's waiting for you. This house for more lanterns, but he said they would draw attention.
Yes, I imagine they would.
The human eye is drawn to light. We can't help it. It just happens.
There are many things we are drawn to without our thinking or our ability to explain why. Thank you for agreeing to meet.
Thank you for trying to help Mary when you did.
No help.
You were meant to be there.
Me? So I could fail miserably at an exorcism in the Red Quarter?
If you had not been there that day, Would you be on this roof tonight? I don't know where to start. I have so many questions. Shall we sit first?
Oh, yes. Of course. Preachers have succeeded in gathering crowds with their rhetoric and fiery tone.
I've heard a few of them over the years myself.
So you know the type. Mm-hmm. But I have never heard anyone tell a paralytic to get up and walk, much less it actually happened.
So what is your conclusion?
I believe you are not acting alone. No one can do these signs you do without having God in him. Only someone who has come from God.
And how is that belief going over in the synagogue? Which is why we are here at this hour. What else?
What have you come here to show us?
A kingdom.
That is what our rulers are worried about.
No, not that kind.
Then what?
A sort of kingdom that a person cannot see unless he is born again.
Born again?
Yes.
You mean like a new creature? A conversion from Gentile to Jewish?
No, no, that's not what I'm talking about.
Then what is born again? I hope you don't mean return to the womb, because that would be a problem for me. My mother, may she rest in peace, is dead.
Truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That part of you, that is what must be reborn to new life.
How can these things be?
Ah, a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things.
I'm trying, Rabbi.
I know. I know. Do you hear this?
What?
Listen. What do you hear?
The wind.
How do you know it's the wind?
Because I can feel it. And I hear it sound.
Do you know where it comes from?
No.
Do you know where it's going?
No.
That's what it is to be born again of the Spirit. The Spirit may work in a way that is a mystery to you. And while you cannot see the Spirit, you can recognize his effect.
Mind is consumed with thoughts of what a stir these words would cause among the teachers of the law.
Yes, and I do not expect otherwise. I speak of what I know and have seen, and it has not been received by the religious leaders.
It is hard to receive.
So if I have told you of earthly things, and you do not believe, how can I tell you heavenly things?
I believe your words. I just fear you may not have a chance to speak many more of them before you are silenced.
I have come to do more than speak words, Nicodemus.
More miracles?
Yes. But even more than that. Do you remember when the children of Israel complained against God and against Moses in the wilderness of Paran?
Yes. They wanted to return to Egypt and they cursed the manna that God sent them.
And then?
They were bitten by serpents. And they were dying.
But
God made a way for them to be healed.
Moses lifted the bronze serpent in the desert, and people only needed to look at it. So will the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life.
Our people are not dying from snake bites. They're dying from taxation and oppression.
Sorry to disappoint you. that I did not come to deliver the people from Rome.
And from what?
From sin. From spiritual death. God loves the world in this way, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
So this has nothing to do with Rome. It's all about sin.
God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, Nicodemus. He sent him to save it through him. It's as simple as Moses' serpent on the pole. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Have you ever heard anything like this before?
Shh. When I met Lilith, Mary, that day, I told my wife and my students, I said, she was beyond human aid. Only God could have healed her. And then I saw her healed. And here you are. The healer. My whole life I have wondered if I would see this day.
Follow me.
You
join me and my students. In 2 days' time, we leave Capernaum. Come see the kingdom I am bringing into this world.
But I
you have a position in the Sanhedrin. You have family. You are getting advanced in years. I understand that the invitation is still open.
Invitation to what exactly? To lead a nomadic life? To give up who I am?
It's true. There is a lot you would give up. But what you would gain is far greater and more lasting.
Is this another one of your born-again mysteries?
Well, maybe. I know mysteries aren't easy for a scholar. Think about it. Take your time. On the morning of the fifth day, we leave, and we'll meet by the well in the southern quarter at dawn.
Is the kingdom of God really coming?
Your heart tell you?
My heart is swollen with fear and wonder. It can tell me nothing except that I am standing on holy ground.
So there's a whole lot wrong with that. There's some, you know, but there's some good, but there's a whole lot wrong.
Right. I do have a question to ask you. in John 3:16, does it matter that Jenkins Jesus didn't say that God gave his only begotten son?
Absolutely.
Is it okay to leave that the word begotten out of it?
No, only begotten is critical.
Okay.
Only begotten son is critical. Why? Because the Greek term tells us monogenes, mono meaning one, and genus kind, that he is the one of a kind son of God. So you and I are children of God, but we're children by adoption.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's like, if my wife and I adopt an Oriental baby and we go around town with the other kids and this Oriental baby who looks nothing like them, and we say these are our children, and somebody's going to think that my wife was, you know, messing around with the guy at the Chinese restaurant.
Right?
Right?
Right.
So, yes. That child is in the family because of adoption. He doesn't look like
yes.
us. I'm not divine. You're not divine. Jesus is the one-of-a-kind divine Son of God. So, again, we're members of the family. But we have to emphasize and mind you that in the Gospel of John, it emphasizes that key point 5 times. Right?
Yeah.
And even in the Epistle of John, it emphasizes it once, the only begotten Son of God. We can't,
right.
you know, that needs to be emphasized, because Sun Myung Moon claimed to be Messiah. Well, again, we know he's not divine. We know that. So that excludes him. Because even look at it from this point, no adoptive son of God, no adoptive daughter of God can be Messiah. Not even the adopted ones.
That's right.
Because we are not the one of a kind son of God. We do not possess a divine nature. We don't have that. We're not God. We're not God. Jesus is and was. In the gospel when he says the only begotten. So, and right in the first chapter, John chapter 1, verse 18, the only begotten of the Father who came from the bosom of the Father, he has come to reveal him. Nobody fits that qualification, nobody. So, we're out of time. We stopped it at the 46-minute mark. But there's so much here. Think about Jesus asking Jesus is asking Nicodemus to join his team.
He never did that at all. Of what happened in this scene after the conversation where Jesus is talking about he who believes in him is not condemned, which is verse 18. None of what happens after Jenkins Jesus says that happened in Scripture.
Right, right. Nicodemus does not quote Psalm 2. Jesus does not quote Psalm 18 back. No, this is just some good, you know, I mean, Jesus and Nicodemus meet, okay, but the rest of it is, and again.
Bits and pieces of it where things were added that weren't actually said, you know, so it's kind of weird in some places.
Yeah. It's, again, but those key phrases, you know, even coin collectors, right? When you look at someone who collects coins, rare coins, and they'll tell you,
yes.
oh, this coin here, this coin. Now, there may be some coins printed in the same year. of the same kind, mm-hmm. but this coin here, this one's worth $100,000, where this one is worth $10.
Right.
You see, and Jesus is that rare, rare Son of God. Why? Because he possesses his divine nature.
That's right.
That's it. You know, so I'll never be a God. No Christian will ever be a God. Never. Never. So we're gonna have to pick this up next week, but this is it's only getting better because this guy is just remember in the Addams Family where Gomez Addams and Pugsley and Uncle Fester are watching the trains and the trains are going around the track.
Gomez loved to crash them. Yeah.
That's it. Every week he's a train wreck. Every week.
Yes. Every week.
You know. Yeah. All right, my sister, great show. You have the last word.
Well, as always, thanks to everyone for listening. Pray for us as we pray for you. Know that we love you, and most importantly, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. See you next week, and have a great rest of your week. Bye-bye.
Thank you.